I want to first of all say that I'm very excited to be here. I told Pastor Conley that I'm not used to speaking to such big crowds, but he promised me there wouldn't be but 100 folks here. We'll have to talk about that later, my brother. No, seriously, I am very thankful to be here. And my esteem of Brother Conley is very high, even though he did poke a lot of fun at me in Greek class. I was fresh off the fields of South Georgia when I hit Greek at Bob Jones. And so they had a lot of things to poke at me about. But we enjoyed our time. And you know, you can tell when people are real if you have any discernment. And I thank the Lord for the reality of your pastor. I really appreciate him and admire him. And I'm glad that he's the pastor of this great church. And I know you're growing to love him, and he'll be a blessing to you. But we're here about these 34 folks in front of me, aren't we? And I want to congratulate you young people. I remember when I got out of high school. They encouraged me to leave when I was in high school. In fact, they were hunting my cap and gown and figuring out some type of diploma to give me to get me to move along. But I'm excited about young people who have finished high school and are headed out on the next part of their race. It is exciting. It's thrilling. I want to congratulate you on finishing this part of your race. This is just a heat race you've been in. The race really will heat up now. And I'm excited for you. I'm fearful for you. I'm challenged by you, and I trust tonight will be a help to you. I want to congratulate you parents who have put these young people through school. It's not free tuition here, is it, brother? Probably not. I don't want to stir that hornet's nest too much. I've put two young people through Christian school and Bob Jones University, and it's been a blessing. Even though we now live in a Maytag box under one of the bridges out here, it's been a real blessing. And you parents, as you head back to your Maytag box this evening, take satisfaction in that you've educated your children. It's good to be here. I want you to turn in the Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I've mentioned this concept of a race. It is a race. Paul, as you know, was a fond admirer, it seems, of the games. Probably both the Olympic Games, the Isthmian Games in Corinth. They held every couple of years. He writes a good bit in the New Testament likening the Christian life to a race, to a fight, to a course, to a way, to a war. And it's all that, isn't it? You 34 graduates are and have, and I guess Friday you'll officially finish this part of your race for Jesus Christ. You've worked hard, I'm sure. You've kept in the fray. You've labored with patience and endurance, and you are to be congratulated. And I commend you for your effort. But it's just a part of the race. It's just a small part of the race. It's a big part, I know now, but it's a small part. And there's a lot ahead for you, Lord willing. I feel like it's my job as preacher this hour to challenge you. I'm sure your folks will commend you and you'll get plenty of pats on the backs and gifts and cards and hopefully some money. And you'll be lauded and applauded and praised, and that's all good and wonderful. But I want to challenge you. I believe the rest of your race, the rest of your fight, the rest of your course hinges on the decisions you make in just the next few weeks and months and years. You're entering into the next heat in this race, and it's a very critical heat of this race. Many of your races could go awry in the next few years. You've done well. You've run well. And I've looked over the biographical sketch of all of you. I know where you're going to school and what your aspirations are, what your plans are. And I'm excited by that. You're going into many different schools. You're going into many different ministries, aspects, careers. The potential sitting here is limitless. But you've got to get ready to run the rest of it. Three challenges from our Scripture tonight about running the rest of your race. Read along with me silently in 1 Corinthians 9. Paul's discussing liberty. He's discussing with these Corinthians how he regulated his liberty for the sake of the gospel and other people. And yet Paul was grateful he was free. And in this portion of Scripture, starting in verse 19 through 27, he testifies basically to these Corinthians about the regulation of his liberty so that he could run his race. We read verse 19. Paul said, "For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain or win the more. Unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." Let's pray. Father, I ask, Lord, this evening that You'll use me to deliver Thy message to these 34 graduates, their families, and this church. Lord, every one of us in this room are running. We're running our race. We're running our course. We're in our fight. God, I pray that tonight You'd encourage those that run. You'd challenge those now, these 34 that begin a new heat race for Thee. I pray they would commit themselves to run. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Young people, I want to challenge you with three simple thoughts, and then I'll be done. As you now begin to run the rest of your race, this next heat, first of all, I want to challenge you to run free. To run free. Paul declared in verse number 19 that he was free from all men. I've never known anyone to run well who did not run free. Paul obviously was being judged by many at Corinth. He was being critiqued. He was being evaluated. He was being criticized. And a lot of 1 Corinthians and some in 2 Corinthians, he makes his defense and explains himself. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, he said this. He said, "With me it's a very small thing that I should be judged of you, or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not my own self, for I know nothing by myself. Yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time, until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God." Paul declared to this bunch at Corinth, "I am free." He made the comment earlier in chapter 9, "Am I not free? Am I not free to lead about a wife? I declare unto you that those in Jesus Christ are free. You are free only in Christ." Our Lord said we would know the truth and the truth would make us free. The Lord said, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." You 34 have to be free to run. Free in Christ. Free from the law of sin and death. Paul said, "The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." Young people, you can run this next heat with no fear. You're free from sin and condemnation in your Savior, Jesus Christ. You don't have to fear anything or anyone on the face of this earth. You're free to run in Christ. You don't need to fear your demise if you're saved. Your times are in the hands of the Lord. You can approach your race with complete boldness in Jesus Christ because He set you free from the law of sin and death. You'll never be judged for your sins if you're in Christ. He was judged for your sins. You're free to run. Free from the bondage of sin. There are so many high schools having graduations this week and last week and next week. And I'm afraid the majority of the young people walking across platforms to receive diplomas don't have the privilege that you have in Jesus Christ to run their life's race free because they're enslaved to sin. They're enslaved to their own wicked natures. They're enslaved to a world system that dictates where they go and what they do and what they wear and how they proceed with their careers and what's important and what they must have. But you're free. You're free from the bondage of sin. Paul said, "God be thanked, we were the servants of sin. But we have obeyed from our heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto us, and being then made free from sin, we became servants of righteousness." You can run free. You don't have to be entangled in sin. You have the power in Jesus Christ to set your affection on things above because you're free to follow Christ. And then Paul declares here he was free from all men. Every Christian to run their race has to be free from men. Paul's confidence in his freedom from all men enabled him to run his race. You 34 need not run your race to impress men. You 34 don't need to dictate your race or order your race based upon the thoughts and the values of others. You don't have to become what even those close around you say you have to become. You're free to follow Christ. You can go and do for Christ whatever the Lord lays on your heart. You're free. You need to run free. You don't need to fulfill the dreams of your parents unless the dreams of your parents are in line with the will of God. You're free. Every one of you are going to run your race and you're free to go. You're free to run in Jesus Christ. You can and you must run your race free. And you're free to pursue God's will, God's divine will for you. All of us are in Christ. God struck Paul down on the Damascus road and Paul gave him an unusual conversion.
Paul gave him an unusual race to run. It was Paul's race. It was his unique race for God. It wasn't anyone else's. God has a race for every one of you 34 graduates of Hampton Park Christian School. That's exciting. You're free to pursue something other than the American dream. You don't have to own a home. You don't have to have a lucrative job. You don't have to have a good retirement package. You don't have to accumulate a bunch of things in your life. You don't have to climb the corporate ladder. You don't have to line your coffers with wealth. You don't even have to have good health. You certainly don't have to have the admiration of your carnal peers in this world. You're free. It's an exciting thing for a young person to be free from all this world expects and people around you expect. You're free to run for Christ. You can only run effectively for Christ as free young men and young women. And I declare unto you, you're free in Christ if you're saved. The prophet Nathan said to David, "Go, do all that's in thine heart, for the Lord is with thee." I tell you the same thing. You go, you do all that's in your heart if the Lord is with thee. You're free. You must run free. Secondly, I challenge you to not only run free, you need to run enslaved. Enslaved. Paul said, "Though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all." The apostle's freedom enabled him to subject himself to enslavement to others. Only people who are free in Christ have the great ability and privilege to enslave themselves to Christ and to others. That verse I quoted earlier, Romans 6:17, says, "God be thanked, ye were the servants of sin, but ye've obeyed from your heart that form of doctrine, the gospel, which was delivered unto you, being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness." This freedom of yours in Christ is freedom to enslave yourself to Him and to His work and to other people. Let me give you a profound reminder this evening. This race, this life is not about you. It's about Him. You're free to run for Him. We're not free to please ourselves. We're free to enslave ourselves for Christ and for souls. What a freedom it is. Paul said, "The love of Christ constraineth us. It enslaves us. It enchains us. Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then were all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves." And that's what the majority of high school graduates are setting out to do these few weeks we have here in the spring. They're setting out to make a bunch of money or have a bunch of things or impress a lot of people or do a lot of things, experience a lot of things. Paul said that we should not live unto ourselves but unto Him which died for us and rose again. Paul went on and said, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and has given unto us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ." Young people, you're free to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ. Whatever your life's vocation, young person, you need to remember you are Christ's ambassador. Like Paul, you've been set free by Jesus Christ if you're saved. And you've been set free to enslave yourself for the souls of mankind. It's a voluntary enslavement. Paul said, I've made myself servant to all. Paul begged us in Romans 12, by the mercy of God, that we would present ourselves, our bodies, a living sacrifice to God. It's acceptable. It's reasonable. We're not to be conformed to this world. Young people, you're not to pick up your race instructions from the world. You pick them up from Christ. No, we're not to be conformed to this world, but we're to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And the whole reason is that we might prove, we might demonstrate what is the perfect will of God in our lives. It's exciting to think God has a perfect will for every one of you this evening. Oh, we can't see it now. But someday, way down the road in eternity, we'll look back on this evening and this week and your graduation. I hope you look back with great joy and contentment that you found the will of God for your life and you ran your race to the end. God has a will for you, young person. You must find it. You must enslave yourself to His will for you. It's a universal enslavement. Paul said he had enslaved himself to all men that he might gain the more. And he goes into this description of the types of men that he had enslaved himself to. He mentions the Jews. He mentions those that are under the law, those that are without the law. He mentions the weak, and he said he's enslaved himself to all men, all types of men, all backgrounds of men, all customs, all societies. Paul used his freedom in Christ to deny himself and subject himself to the ways and the lives and the souls of all types of people. Why did he do that? He said at the end of verse 22 that I might, by all means, save some. Young people, you've been saved to be witnesses. You've been saved to be ambassadors for Christ. You must enslave yourselves to all men. Hampton Park graduate, will you run for the souls of Jews? The souls of Gentiles? Will you run for the souls of aristocrats and bums as well? Will you run for rednecks and baby boomers and yuppies and everyone else? Will you run for the blacks and the whites and the yellows? Will you run for the Asians and the Orientals? Will you run for all men? Will you be enslaved for the souls of men that are dying all around you? You must run free so that you can enslave yourself. Young people, you cannot escape the burden of lost souls if you're saved. And whether you find yourself teaching school or working in business or being an engineer, and I'm just quoting some of the things you have down listed as biographical sketches, if you pastor or preach or fly planes or work on planes or minister in camps or do radiology or cosmetology, whatever you do, you're under a burden for the souls of men. You teach school, you be as interested or more interested in the souls of your students, whether they're saved or not, as well as how well they can do math and English. If you practice medicine, as some of you have indicated, you've got a tremendous opportunity to deal with men's souls. We have a Christian doctor in our church. In fact, he's our music director. He prays with every patient. And many of his patients, he basically tells them, you don't need me, you need Christ. Oh, will you run for souls, young people? Will you enslave yourself for the souls of men? Our Lord said, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, look on the fields, for they're white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. Graduate, you'll rejoice in the days ahead over a marriage that you enjoy, over children God will bless you with, over promotions. You'll rejoice over this and that, but you'll never rejoice like you'll rejoice when you win souls and lead souls to Jesus Christ. Therein is true rejoicing. Let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death, shall hide a multitude of sins. The most important work going on the face of the earth this evening is the attempt of believers to win the souls of lost people to Christ. It's the most important thing. Whether you are a doctor, a mechanic, etc. Finally, I want to challenge you not only to run free and then run enslaved, but I want to challenge you to run for the prize. Paul said, "Do you not know that they which run in a race run all, but only one receives the prize? So run that ye may obtain." Games include reward time. In fact, tonight and this week and Friday is part of that in your race you've now run in high school and you've completed. You're being rewarded. You're being acknowledged. You're being commended. And it's right. You are to be commended. And Paul makes this point that all run in a race, but only one guy goes home with the wreath or the crown or the trophy. All enter. All begin the race. But fewer finish and one wins. You need to run for the prize that all your fellow Christians are running for. Now understand, we are not in competition. In fact, the Bible says if we compare ourselves among ourselves, we're not wise. But likewise, every one of you 34 have a prize to win. You've got a goal. You have a high calling. The prize that all are running for is a cherished prize. It's a prize worthy to labor over. And if you're to win your prize, Paul said, you've got to run to win it. You have to crank it up. You have to go hard. You have to suck it up, as they say in basketball. You've got to put ice on it when it hurts and get back in the fray. You've got to run hard. You've got to run to win. You've got to be serious about it. The Christian's race is for his or her prize. One's high calling in Christ Jesus. Paul said in Philippians 3:14, I press toward the mark. I press toward the goal. I lean toward the finish line for the prize, for the goal of the high or upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. Every one of you have an upward calling if you're saved. You have a high calling. The prize that we run for motivates self-control. Paul said, those that strive in these games, in these races, in the Olympics, in the Isthmian Games, in any sports contest around the world, those that strive for the mastery, verse 25, they are temperate in all things. I understand the word means self-controlled. They're disciplined. The runners and the fighters and the ball players, they limit themselves. They restrain themselves. They discipline themselves. They deny themselves. They eat certain diets. They do certain routines. They stay away from many things. They make sure they incorporate other things. They watch the way they work, the way they play, the way they rest. They're focused on one thing, being the very best they can be in that race. And they restrain themselves. They exercise self-control. And Paul said, like they do that to obtain a pine wreath for their head that will wilt up and go away, we do the same, not for a wilting crown, but for an everlasting, incorruptible crown. We're to exercise, and you're to exercise self-control, young people, in all things, all areas, all pursuits, all interests, have to be submitted to and subjected to and surrendered to the prize of the high calling of God. Everything you do in life must somehow fit into the puzzle of your race for Jesus Christ. You can't hinder your race by getting distracted with other things. Your life's activities and choices and actions, your career moves have to be done with a purpose, with a plan, with prayer, with spiritual discernment. Paul said in verse 26, he didn't run uncertainly. Oh, I see so many young people get done with high school. And they try this for 6 months. And they try that for 8 months. Then they get a job here for a year. Then they leave that and go over here and go over there. And when they're 35, they're still bouncing around like a super ball in a hallway. They have no concept of what they're doing or where they're going. Young people, you find the race. You find the will of God. You determine what God's got you here for. And you run your race with great discernment. Paul said, every blow I make, it's not to hit the air. I put it on the jawbone of my opponent. When I run in a straight line. I run to win. I run for a purpose. Young person, don't make silly moves and decisions the next few months and years. Your whole race can be wrecked in the next few years by unwise moves and decisions. You must control yourself. You must control your life's direction. Paul said in verse 27, he kept under his body. Literally, he beat his body down. He enslaved his body. He led his body around captive. Captive to what? The race, the prize, the high calling. Young people, your bodies will fight your race. I think Paul used the term body here to really indicate the whole life. My, every part of our body, it seems, fights our Christian race. Paul said, in my flesh dwelleth what? No good thing. Your flesh will fight you, young person. You must beat it down. You must deny yourself if you're going to run for Christ. And Paul said he disciplined himself and he ran with discernment so as not to become, in verse 27, a castaway. That means disapproved, disqualified, set on the shelf, race over, goal unaccomplished, prize left on the shelf, terminated, done, finished, wrecked. He said, I don't want to do that. Young person, you don't want to do that. Oh, there's so much potential sitting here. Will any of you wreck your race? Don't wreck your race. Be careful not to wreck your race. Make sure every day you pray that God will help you not to wreck your race. Ask God for leadership. Make careful moves. Follow the Spirit of God. You're free, young people, to run. You'll find this thing of self-control, beating down your body, and listening only to Christ in your decisions a very difficult task. In this world that lusts for your attention and your affection. This prize that you're to run for, unlike the pine wreath they put on the heads of the games in Corinth, or the winners of the games, you're going for the incorruptible one. You're going for a crown one day you can toss to the Master's feet, the one that saved you. Yours will be an eternal crown when you receive it. And young people, you must run for this prize with the attitude, you must obtain it. You must win. There's no alternative. The only alternative to not winning your prize in your Christian race is to come up unfulfilled in the end. Paul said in verse 24, so run that ye may obtain. My challenge to you young folks tonight is run. Run. It's exciting. Hallelujah for the young people that will be running from here to their race, to the contest, to the fight, to the fray, to the race. Run free. You're free, young people, in Christ. Don't listen to men. Listen to God. Don't let the world determine your race. You find out what God's will is for you. You're free to run. Run. But when you run free, you run right into the chains of Jesus Christ. You're free to run enslaved to Christ. It's a privilege, young people, to be a servant, a bond slave of the Master. Run free to enslave yourself to Christ and to souls. Don't just go out to be a good doctor. There's lots of good doctors in this earth, and people are still dying and going to hell. We need good doctors who also are men burdened and ladies burdened with the souls of their patients. Run enslaved for souls, and then run for your prize. I read a couple of scriptures as I close. I quoted one earlier, but I read two more with it. Paul said, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after. If that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark, the goal, for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Young folk, you have been apprehended by Christ if you're saved. You've been captured. You've become a child of God. You're free to be enslaved to run for your prize. Now run. Run with all your heart. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the time we've had in the Word of God. Thank you for this exciting group of young people. Lord, it's my prayer that you'll challenge them. They'd not be able to get away from their freedom to become enslaved to run for their prize. Lord, help them to run well. Lord, help these parents and family members to pray for them, encourage them. Help their parents to encourage them to run free for their Lord and Master. Oh God, I pray your blessings upon this class as they graduate, and ask you, God, to help them now to run in Christ's name.